always. Jenna's a hard act to follow. I hope you appreciate we're having technical difficulties. Those little red lights up there on that projector say I'm not coming on. So that's why you have all the words on paper. It was an emergency action this morning. So
right.
It works.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah.
So before I start my talk, how many of you got last month's Science of Mind magazine? Yeah. Well, the gentleman on the front, David Ault, in 2004 wrote a Pledge of Allegiance, and I'm just going to not read the whole thing because it's pretty long, but I am going to read you some excerpts of what he said, and in honor of the holiday, the 4th of July holiday. He said, "I pledge allegiance to breaking the self-imposed barriers of my humanness. I recognize that my time on this planet is precious and limited, and every day is a canvas on which I can create. I pledge allegiance to the expression of my spiritual honesty. Creation makes no mistakes. I am a creation of life, of a higher power of perfection. I pledge allegiance to the quiet soldier within. I march forward towards a history of my own making, wisely, lovingly choosing the means by which I spread my beliefs and my convictions. I pledge allegiance to a partnership with divinity. I choose to see others and myself from eyes that already view the wholeness and the perfection within. I pledge allegiance to wise discernment, knowing when to speak and when to keep quiet. I pledge allegiance to the freedom from comparison. I once and for all lay down my wearisome, stale beliefs of unworthiness and not being good enough. I know that my past does not define who I am. I pledge allegiance to knowing that things are not always as they seem, understanding the difference between reality and illusion. I pledge allegiance to actions that fulfill the greatest good for all. I pursue a win-win in all activities of life. I pledge allegiance to those who have gone before me. I honor the privileges given to me today because of the sweat from their pioneering efforts and the fortitude of their convictions. I pledge allegiance to a love that has no agenda. I choose to love as a way of being. I pledge allegiance to the sacredness of laughter, knowing that the greatest healing force that exists reverberates from the vibration of humor." So this month, we're talking about forgiveness, and we see a worldwide culture in which forgiveness, whether for errors, injustices, or debts, is the norm. So I have a story. Actually, I have a couple of them. In 1984, Jennifer Thompson Canino testified that Ronald Cotton was the man who raped her, and he was sent to prison. 11 years later, DNA evidence cleared him of the crime. The two are now frequent speakers on judicial reform, and they live in North Carolina with their families. They have written a memoir called Picking Cotton from their experiences, and they do a lot of speaking. In 2009, Jennifer said, "I believe in forgiveness, the kind that has the power to release a person from a place of anger and hate to a place of peace." And Ronald Cotton said, "I also believe in the healing power of forgiveness. I had gone to prison as an angry man and gotten real comfortable with it. But that kind of emotion was keeping me a prisoner in my own private jail, and I had to let the hate go and learn to live and forgive." Jennifer said she picked out this man who raped her only to find out 11 years later that it wasn't his. And she had spent 365 days a year for 11 years hoping that he would die because she hated him so badly. Can you imagine when I found out the truth? The overwhelming guilt. The overwhelming guilt. And here was that guilty person left to commit further crimes with women. And Ronald said, forgiving Jennifer was easy, but knowing who actually did it, who would let him rot in jail, was harder. It was much harder. He missed his family and his girlfriend and his freedom. He knew who he was, however, and he was not that person. So letting go of his anger to him was staying free in his heart, and it was a choice that only he could make. So Jennifer said, I asked Ron if he could ever forgive me. I mean, think, he'd been in prison for 11 years. And with all the mercy in the world, he took my hands and told me, I forgave you a long time ago. At that moment, she said, I began to heal and all the pain started to go away. His forgiveness set me free. Without Ronald, I would still be shackled to that moment in time when that event happened. I would still be angry. And I even forgave the man who raped me, not because he deserved it. Not because he deserved it. Not because he asked me to, but because I did not want to be a prisoner of my own anger and my own hatred. So Ronald said that Jennifer and he are friends now, and some people don't understand that, how they could be friends after she put him in prison for 11 years. And he said, together we stand together on a healed experience, and we're able to share that experience with others. We're able to share that experience with others. I could hate the prison guards and the system, he says, but I choose to forgive them all so that I stay free and not be a prisoner of my own anger for the rest of my life. So isn't that amazing? Yes. What equates to freedom for each and every one of us? Yes. To each every one of us, a different thing means freedom. Jennifer and Ronald want to be free by forgiving. I'm sure that each and every one of us have something we could forgive someone else if we had a mind to do that, don't we? So what does freedom mean to you? What does freedom mean to me? And what would forgiveness add to my freedom? If I could forgive the people that I thought had wronged me, would I be able to celebrate my own Independence Day? You know, think about it. The country here celebrates Independence Day once a year. We could celebrate Independence Day once a day, couldn't we? All we would have to do is bring up that forgiveness, let go of the hurt, let go of the pain, let go of the fear, and embrace it. Because forgiveness is a powerful, powerful spiritual tool, and it can shift us from the idea of separation into our unity with the God of our hearts, the God of our understanding, into unity with our own innate goodness, because truly, truly that's where God resides within each and every one of us. And forgiveness is not weakness. Forgiveness is strength. It is one of the most courageous things that we as human beings have been called to do, to forgive one another. It is not weak, it is not passive, and it is not for the faint of heart. It calls us to know the depth of our own courage, doesn't it? How courageous am I? And what is my relationship with the divine? I need to trust that relationship with God as I forgive others. And think about it. It cuts those puppet strings that allow those people we haven't forgiven to stay in control of our lives. Because as long as we don't forgive them, they've still got us, don't they? So it's so important. It gives us greater opportunities to be free. It creates for each one of us our very own Independence Day. So I'm declaring this day Independence Day, and I'm declaring tomorrow Independence Day. I want to be free from anger. I want to be free from fear. I want to be free to be the truth of who I am. It gives us greater possibilities, doesn't this, when we're free? It gives us the opportunity to truly be love, to be compassion, to be all those qualities of God that we admire in others. And what about the story of Immaculee Ilibagiza?
Yes.
Yes. She lived in a bathroom 3 feet by 4 feet. Now you think about that. This is 3 feet. 3 feet by 4 feet with 7 other women for 91 days. You know, how do you sleep in 3 feet by 4 feet? You know, this is 6 feet. 3 feet by 7 women. It was during the Rwandan Holocaust in 1994, and the rest of her family was killed. And she lived there for 91 days, and she did write a number of books about it. And she was a Roman Catholic, and it was a minister of some other faith that had this hidden little bathroom where he hid these women, and they survived. It's just an amazing thing to me. And she forgave the people who slaughtered her family. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear stories about stuff like this, the rape, the slaughtering of the family, my stuff I have to forgive is really pretty minuscule, isn't it? Pretty tame, pretty manageable, pretty unimportant. And yet, in the Course in Miracles, it says, all expressions of love are maximal. That means everything I forget, however small it is, leads me to my oneness with the divine. It leads me to my understanding of God. It leads me forward in my unity with all that is. Forgiveness is the single most important thing that you and I can do. The single most important thing. It brings peace to our souls. It brings harmony to our lives. What is forgiving? What is forgiving? It's used to stand for giving. It is taking a stand for giving, giving love, giving truth, giving peace, giving joy. There is only one love. There is only one thing that we can give to another, and that is freedom from judgment, to love them unconditionally. Freedom from judgment. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes that can be a bit of a challenge for me. And when we accept the idea of God and love being all-inclusive, we have to understand that everyone, everything is a part of the divine. Who am I to judge the divine? When we no longer hold on to any one person or any one thing or any one concept and judge it as right or wrong, then we can say we have forgiveness because we have accepted them and their oneness as a part of God's allness. In The Science of Mind, page 438, I have an Ernie quote that says, why should it disturb anyone to be told that God knows nothing of his sin, nothing of his want, nothing of his lack of any kind? The tragedy would be if God did know. If God knew sin, he would have to be a sinner. For what the infinite mind knows must be. Sins and mistakes are outside the province of reality. And so we know that God knows only wholeness, only completeness, only perfection. So what God knows about you and what God knows about me is our wholeness, is our completeness, is our compassion, is our perfection. We are individualized expressions of perfection. Complete and perfect. Spirit knows its own nature and it expresses it through all things. Everything expresses God, all of its creations. There is only one and we can't separate ourselves from it. If you ever walked mindfully in the woods or in the desert or by the ocean, looked at the northern lights, observed the beauty of nature, watch the glaciers calve, you know, watch the orcas. If you've ever done any of that, then you understand the unity of life, don't you? Mm-hmm. That we're all one. Did you know that the largest organism on Earth is a fungus? It's a fungus in Oregon. It covers 2,384 acres. This is one organism. That is 1,665 football fields. That is 4 square miles. And in 1998, this fungus made the new record as the world's largest organism. And through DNA testing, scientists were able to determine its size because it pushes up clusters of mushrooms at the base of trees and all over in this 4 square miles. And where there's no food source, it puts little ribbons out and goes to the next food source. So, you know, when it can't grow on the rock, it just puts the ribbon to go across the rock. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. And each one of those little mushrooms is unique, just like each one of us is unique. And each one of them is still connected to the collective root system. And each one is still considered one organism. Does that sound familiar to you?
Yeah.
Many expressions from one source. There's only one life. That life is God's life. That life is perfect. That life is my life now. That life is your life now. In The Science of Mind on page 364, it says, we should never hesitate to say that we know the truth, because we do. For the realization of the unity of God and humankind is the truth. We simply need a greater realization of this. And how are we to get it? Only by penetrating deeper and deeper into our own divine nature, pushing further and further back into the infinite. And we try to do that, don't we? We try to do that here. We do these classes, we read the books, we listen to this beautiful music. And doesn't the beautiful music take you to a place where you can feel that oneness with the divine? You know, you just kind of sink into it and let everything else go. It's an amazing thing to know that God has created this place and every place for a purpose. Everything has a place and a purpose. I might not understand it. I haven't figured out what the mosquito is here for yet. But everything must have a purpose or it wouldn't be here, right? Everything has a purpose. When we let go of the law of survival, think about it. The law of survival says, this is good, this is bad. This is good, this is bad. You want this, you don't want that. The law of survival. When you can let go of that law of survival and not judge what is bad and what is good, just judge, yes, it is. You become a forgiver. Mm-hmm. And when we become a forgiver, we are affirming that everything, all there is God. Mm-hmm. And we're a part of it. And he's a part of it. And she's a part of it. And they're all a part of it. We're all part of God. When we can do that, when we can put our trust in the divine, we come to a realization that we are one with God. And all things can come unto us. We have a freedom. We have a freedom when we realize that everything is in God's hands. And that is what is meant by heaven on earth. That is what is meant by heaven on earth. When I don't have to have the responsibility, right? I can turn it over to God. I know some of us parents think we can fix our kids, but I really can't, you know? Don't you expend a lot of effort into trying to fix someone and it's not your job? And to be able to not judge them and allow them to be whoever they are. A perfect, individualized expression of the divine. It's up to you, Ernest Holmes says. In the real you, we must not be disturbed by the contradiction of objective experience. We shall have to know that the truth that we announce is superior to the condition which is to change.
Yes.
Yeah. We shall have to see that God in us recognizes God in the other person until the God in the other person recognizes the God in us. Mm-hmm. Until the God in the other person recognizes the God in us. And this cannot be done by human will. It is only when we recognize the pure essence of the spiritual principle inherent and incarnate in each one of us that we find thought arising from the atmosphere of spiritual realization that has no adversary. We live in a friendly and supporting universe. Anything that expresses in our experience is for our expanding good. We hear stories of people who lost their jobs, who've been diagnosed with devastating illnesses, and they're devastated, aren't they? And yet, as the time passes, they begin to see the gift. They begin to see the gift in the situation. It is at that point that they have an opportunity to look beyond, the immediate moment, and to have a new vision for their lives, to see greater opportunities, greater possibilities. Have you ever had somebody tell you that some horrible story about something that happened to them, and then to turn around and say, it's the best thing that ever happened to me, because my whole life changed at that point. Mm-hmm. You know, it happens to a lot of people. I got fired, and it's devastating. But then I got this great new job, you know, so that had so much more of what it was that I wanted. We just don't recognize the opportunities that present themselves until a little later down the road, when we're wallowing in the devastation of the moment, But when we do that, we get to see the greater possibilities that lie ahead of us. When we can move out of the muck into the light, we all get the opportunity. You know, didn't your parents always tell you every cloud has a silver lining, and you went, ha! But you know, when we can get out of the muck, we have an opportunity to see what that silver lining might be. When I had to have my second heart surgery, I was not very happy. It was like, I already did this once. I shouldn't have to do this again. And yet, it's truly an amazing thing when you go through an experience and a whole new avenue of being opens up to you, a whole new opportunity to become opens up to you, because I have health that I never ever had in my whole life before. And here's the thing, I was stuck in it and I didn't know it. Wow. You know? And so when we move beyond that, when we move beyond the being stuck in it and embrace it, and we can see the silver lining in those things. Heaven on earth. Heaven on earth. We must not be disturbed by the contradiction of objective experience. We know the truth. We announce it is superior to the condition that is to change. And isn't that what you do when you go have a spiritual mind treatment with a practitioner? You tell them all your stuff, and they say, so what would you like it to be? What would you like to feel? What would you like to happen? Because they look beyond the condition to the truth of who and what you are. You're an individualized expression of the divine, whole, perfect, and complete. And they know that truth for you. And it's really handy to have somebody know that truth for you when you're stuck down in the stuff and you can't know it for yourself. But they can see beyond that because they're not stuck right there. We recognize the pure and essential and spiritual principle inherent and incarnate in each one of us. We see the God in them until they see the God in us, however long that takes. And we get to have the opportunity, as we do that, to look beyond the appearance, don't we? To the greater possibilities ahead of us. So what I would suggest to you this weekend is to celebrate your own Independence Day. Celebrate your freedom. Practice forgiveness. Not as easy as it sounds for me. But I have to remember that when I practice forgiveness, it's not about them.
Yes.
See, I think sometimes that we think when they're down at the bar having a beer, they don't care if you forgive them or not, you know? They don't even think there's anything to forgive. So it's really not about them. It's about us. It's about freeing ourselves. It's about freeing ourselves. It's about getting unstuck. And when we forgive, we get to live in oneness, and greater possibilities are available to us. And that's what I want for each and every one of you, for each and every one of us, to take advantage of all the love and all the infinite possibilities that are available to you. I have an affirmation for you. I'd like you to repeat it after me. God knows.
God knows.
Only its divine nature.
Only its divine nature.
I am as God is.
I am as God is.
And so it is. Let us pray.